Welcome to SEL Unfiltered. If you are a teacher, counselor, or educator looking for additional SEL resources and encouragement, you are in the right place. Stick around to empower the SEL guide in you. This week, we are continuing our series on classroom community, where we will discover what community in the classroom can look like, discuss how to create a classroom community virtually or in person, and why they are so valuable. Today's episode, we are going to play If You Really Knew Me, discover three ways you can immediately start building classroom community, and answer your question of the day. I am your host, Michelle Shepherd, and I am joined today by my trusty co-host, Caitlin Baldwin.
We are just two middle school counselors in the trenches wanting to share our unfiltered SEL tips and tricks that we have learned and developed over the years with you. All right, so let's talk about the nitty-gritty of strategies for educators to use in the classroom to build community. So you might be thinking, on the first day of school or the first week of school, I go through my procedures and expectations. We do some form of like an icebreaker. And so I am building relationships. Like I did it.
Yeah. I'm done.
I did it. Like we did the fun thing and they know the rules. So
check.
Yeah. We're moving on. Exactly. Check mark done. Yes, you did do that. But what if you went a step further and like took the time to build it into your weekly routine? Like what would that look like? Okay. Some people are like, no, but just hear me out. Like, hear us out, listen to these three things. And I think you might be surprised. So today we're going to talk about three strategies that you can implement in your classroom community. But I'm going to be really honest with you. There are a ton of strategies. Like when I was researching this, there's an overwhelming amount of classroom strategies that you can use. So please don't just take the three that we give you and think this is it.
There's more.
There's so much more out there. But these are three that we think are just effective and something you could do right now. So, but first,
game time. Mm-hmm. So our game today is called If You Really Knew Me, and it's very versatile and you can do it in many, many ways, but it absolutely helps build classroom community. So one way to do If You Really Knew Me is to have your students stand up in a circle around the room. If you have a lot of students, you might want to do the short version, which is just where you say, go around the room and each person starts a sentence where they say, if you really knew me, you would know that. And then they finish the sentence and you go from person to person to person. If you want to up your game and make it a little bit more challenging, or you want to do it in a smaller group, mm-hmm. you can start by saying, if you really knew me, you would know that I have a very large personal bubble. And then the person next to me would go and say,
if you really knew me, you would know that I don't like being hot and sticky.
Oh. So then you repeat back the people that have gone before you. So the next person would say, if I really knew Michelle, I would know that she has a very large personal bubble. If I really knew Caitlin, I would know that she doesn't like to be hot and sticky. And if you really knew me, then you would know I love to play soccer. I don't know.
Right. So then you would just keep going
around the room, and it's a play on a memory game, but also getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gives a chance for students to say something about themselves and for other students to learn about them, something that they might not know. And the student then has the power to share what they want to share. Another way that you can utilize this activity is by having students write about it to you. So put it in the form of a question as an exit ticket or something like that, where you just give them the prompt, if you really knew me, you would know. And it gives them an opportunity to share something about themselves privately with you
mm-hmm.
that maybe that they want you to know that maybe they wouldn't say in front of everyone.
That's a great idea. I like that idea of doing it privately. Or you can do it, what is it called, like Word Cloud or something where they can type it and it all goes.
Oh, yeah, you can do a Word Cloud.
That would be fun, too, for
class.
Oh,
there's something else, not a Word Cloud, where you can like, what is that called? We'll research it and we'll put it in the blog post, but where students can put their ideas up. And it's almost like a giant whiteboard where they can write their ideas, but yeah. it's not necessarily connected to the person. It just goes up, or they can sign their name to it if they want their name signed to it.
That way kids can see it too.
I like that. Or you could do it up on the board and say, if you really knew me, you would know, mm-hmm. and let them
just draw on the board. A great way for kids to, one, actively listen to each other, and two, make those connections.
I like it. It's a fun game. And it's one of those games that you can start at the beginning of the year to help get to know you.
Mm-hmm. And it's quick. That could be a take five easily.
Absolutely. So our quote of the day is, community is about doing something together that makes belonging matter. And this is by Brian Solis. I'm not doing very good on my research this week. Brian Solis. I'm sorry, sir. I don't know who you are. More great wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So community is about doing something together that makes belonging matter. And that's essentially it. You're working together. Mm-hmm. What are you doing together? School is so much fun when you enjoy the people that you're with, when you're not isolated and you're not alone.
Exactly. So let's dive into our first strategy that we wanted to talk about of how to build community within your classroom. So that would be holding weekly meetings. It's simple and it's effective to hold weekly meetings with your class once a week, okay? You don't have to do it every day. You don't have to do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You really only have to do it once a week. They don't have to be long and they can be really simple. Like we talk about those take fives all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just something every week to do a little bit of touching base, checking in on everybody. Another thing that teachers can do is give students a chance to ask specific classroom-related questions, or they can share a highlight from their week. So that gives kids the opportunity to lead the conversation, lead what's happening in these weekly meetings, and give them, you know, a little bit of power. And it's not always just coming from the teacher.
I love weekly meetings on Friday mm-hmm. where students can say one good thing that happened that week, and then they can say one thing they want to work on for next week. So it's giving them an opportunity to reflect back on something good, but then also, how are we going to make things better for the next week?
That's great. I like that idea as well. So teachers, that's something you could totally utilize on a Friday. You want to make sure you're encouraging your students to say very specific course-related questions for one-on-one time. So if they want to ask you about math homework or things like that, that's not what these weekly meetings are for. These are for like a whatever class discussion time, goals they have as a whole class, how we can meet those goals. So it's really using that time as a unit. We don't want this to be a time for individual questions that those kids need. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't answer your kids' individual questions. That's just not what these weekly meetings are for.
And it's helpful when you start weekly meetings to come up with a structure and share that with the class so that they know what weekly meetings look like, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And even in your first meeting, you can create those rules together as a group. What do our weekly meetings look like? What is acceptable and not acceptable behavior? And then they take ownership to the rules.
Exactly. And it's important to know when you're creating this weekly meeting to be mindful of the age of your students. You know, if it's elementary, maybe you need to have it very, very structured for them of setting it at a certain time. They know exactly when they look at the board of, you know, when they have art, recess, weekly meeting, whatever. So making sure you're mindful of the age group that you're working with. And then, you know, maybe if it is a younger group, you can have small events for them to look forward to. That is more exciting for the younger kids, where older kids, maybe it's more meaningful conversation in these types of meetings. So again, just being mindful of the ages of your students.
I mean, kids want to be heard.
Yes.
Giving them an opportunity to talk and be heard, that alone means a lot to them.
Oh, I think we're surprised at how much it means to them. So sometimes I am, and I feel like I should know that, but it really matters to them.
It matters. They feel important then,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. And it's awesome to give them that power and to watch them grow in that and their confidence grow. It's really cool to see. So tip number two, give daily shout outs or compliments. I mean, who doesn't love a compliment? Like, it just improves everyone's
It does. Day. If I see somebody in the hallway at school who looks kind of down, I will just throw out like, hey, I love your shirt.
Yes. And they're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. And it might not be this is bad of me. It might not be something I'm like, wow, I actually, that was my first thought is that I love their shirt. But my thought is I want to make them feel better.
Absolutely.
So I do it.
I mean, I love going into lunch duty now. My sixth graders are so nice. And these girls, I'll go up to their table and see how they're doing. They'll be like, Miss Shepherd, you look so pretty today. And I'm like, oh, thanks.
I know. I kind of missed that last year when my kids were sixth graders. One day they told me I looked like Cinderella.
Aww.
Oh, man, I was over the moon. Aww. Now they're seventh graders and they're
little mutants.
They're not as nice.
They get better at eighth grade.
Yeah.
It gets way better in eighth grade.
They'll like me again in eighth grade.
Yep. Just wait. They'll be your best friend again. Okay. So give daily shout outs or compliments. We love giving compliments. Who doesn't love to receive a compliment? And in fact, one of the ways I teach my kids who are shy to talk to somebody is to give them a compliment because that instantly opens up a conversation. But a simple and quick way to build community in the classroom is to create a shout out or compliment ritual. So find a way in your classroom to do this. There are multiple ways that you can do it. Perhaps you do it yourself, and at the beginning of class or on Friday, you give out a shout out, and people are waiting to see who the shout out is. Another way that you can do it is to have a jar on your desk. I've seen where people have jars and paper on their desk, and the students will write the shout outs and put them in the jar, and then you can pull them out and read them at different times, which is fun because then it gets the kids involved. Another way that you can do it is have an electronic form that students can submit shout outs to, and then you read those. And so you can vet them a little bit.
That's awesome. And I know we talked a little bit about our Marauder Gold in our last episode of like the incentive money that we give out. And I noticed last year, like when kids would give compliments and shout outs to one another, and teachers were watching like from behind the scenes, it wasn't something that they were told to do or anything. They got Marauder Gold and they were like, wow, why did I get this? And the teacher's like, because you just did something so awesome.
Really nice.
Yeah. And I think that just helped our kids learn and be like, well, this is so easy for me to just be kind to somebody. And
yes,
then people see that I'm doing the right thing. So I thought that was really cool.
It's awesome. And another way, like bringing in that kid part of it to do the shout outs, you can do it as a group in one of your community meetings and go around and have people give each other compliments. And then ensure that you as the teacher, if someone is getting left out, you know, you are passing that compliment along to somebody else or that shout out along. Another way that you can do shout outs is actually through your administrators at your building. We have positive behavior referrals at our building, and my office is right across the hall from both of our assistant principal's offices. So I get to witness these positive behavior referrals frequently.
Which is really cool.
It's really fun, and we have a little fun with it, possibly mean fun with it, but the kids come down to the office, and they're like these, usually it's a really good kid who comes down, and they're terrified. So they're like
shaking in their boots.
Oh, yeah, they're so scared, and we start off by like, well, we got a referral for you. Okay, I say we, as I'm just the witness and watching this.
You're just sitting at your desk. Like
I am, and sometimes I come in. Sometimes they'll be like, Miss Shepherd, why don't you come over here? I'm like, oh my gosh, why are you here? And the kid's like, I don't know.
Oh.
And then, you know, we tell them it's a positive behavior referral and like the relief on their face, and they get a piece of candy, and we tell them, you know, who submitted
it. And it's
really
cool when, you know, you have an administrator pull you into their office as a kid and be like, hey, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
You're doing good work.
And our kids that struggle, who are down there for not positive things all the time, mm-hmm. when they do something that's awesome and their teacher recognizes them for it, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, the look on their face is even better. Like, mm-hmm. just the pride and excitement of like getting recognized for something good is so great.
And I think it also just turns the relationship a little bit with that yeah. teacher. Like, whoa, my teacher is acknowledging the really good things I'm doing and she's really proud of me.
Yes. I mean, and this takes very little class time and very little prep. So this is something that you can do in any way to connect with your students and have students connecting with each other. It's really cool. I mean, a compliment really does make someone's day.
Any day. Every day.
Every day.
Okay, so let's talk about our third strategy. And this is letting your students have a voice. So this would be a great opportunity to let your teachers let your students go through comment cards, weekly notes to you as their teacher, or some type of classroom forum, which we've talked a little bit about already. Letting kids pick questions to talk about during these meetings. Another example would be a teacher passing out cards to students with a prompt, like, one thing I wish I knew about my teacher, which is kind of similar to the game we already played, with blank lines for students to fill out the rest. So then the students can ask you what they want to know. Gives them just a little bit of power. It gives students a chance to share with their teachers, and teachers have the opportunity to learn more about their students. That will inevitably build community.
Oh, yeah. The more you know about somebody, the more you care about somebody.
Exactly. So giving those students the chance to come up with maybe an activity or a question or something like that that they want to ask the teacher, it helps them feel like they have a voice within the classroom, and it's not just a teacher speaking at them.
Well, and another way to give students the power, if you are using the Take Fives and you have a routine every week for like Motivational Monday or Think About It Thursday, mm-hmm. Wacky Wednesday, whatever you're doing, giving students an opportunity to submit the prompts for the day and you utilize them as the time goes on. When they get their prompt read, oh my gosh, the excitement that they have.
Right, and they're going to be like, oh, they didn't forget about me. Like, yeah, she's still.
Oh, that was mine. Yeah. That was my idea.
Makes me feel like it prevents, I'm just in my mind, this makes me feel really old. I think of like the Peanuts teacher, where they're like, wah, 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 wah. And I feel like sometimes if kids don't feel like they have a voice in their classroom, they're just feeling like they're being talked to like that.
So in a previous life, I was a paramedic, and I was taking a patient to the hospital, and if he didn't look at me and say, all I hear you saying is, wah, 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 wah.
But it's so true.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like I can think of times when I felt like that as a student.
Yeah, it just goes in one ear and out the other. You're just glazed over. You're you're just tired. You're bored. You're ready to do something else.
Right. So even types of like various games to give students a voice in the classroom, to get to know each other. Even if teachers only do an activity once a week or even once a month like this, where the students have a voice, they will see positive effects on the vibe of the overall class. So I really do think if you find ways to let your students have a voice, it'll make a big difference.
On to our question of the week.
Okay.
The last segment of our show, the question of the week. This is where we want to hear from you and answer your tough questions. We are SEL Unfiltered for a reason. So please email us your questions at podcast@themindtrek.com. And today's question, is there a classroom community strategy that you use and love?
So for me, it's hard because I've never been a teacher. I've only been a counselor, so I can give you my perspective.
Okay, that's not true. You taught a class.
Okay, I did teach a success class. You're right, you're right. I did do that. So for me, what helped me build community in my classroom was the letting the students have a voice, because they were very guarded. I worked at a rough school previously, and they were very guarded, and I don't blame these kids. So it took me a while to make that connection. And when I mean a while, I mean like Christmas break.
Yeah.
It was rough all around for us.
Yeah.
But they found out I was pregnant because I was getting a belly, not because I told them. And the one girl who we did not have a good relationship.
Oh my gosh, did she ask you if you were fat?
I'm going to tell you. So this girl who told me she'd rather go to the principal than ever talk to me. This is where we were at. And which, as a counselor, like broke my heart of like, what? I'm going into full story time right now. And she was like, can I talk to you in the hallway? And I was like, oh no, she's going to yell at me again. Like, I just can't take another kid yelling at me. So we go to the hallway and she goes, the whole class has been talking. And Mrs. Baldwin, we want to know if you're pregnant or if it's just all the Starbucks you've been drinking. And I busted out laughing. And she's like, well, you're just looking a little bit rounder, and we know you drink Starbucks every day. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I said, yes, I'm pregnant. And that, just me opening up to them and like them being able to ask me questions about myself, changed the entire dynamic of the classroom. After that, I went in there the next day and told them all I was pregnant, and they all just had 10,000 questions for me, and I just took the time to let them get to know me, and it changed our entire dynamic. So it's like really
the key that unlocked the door.
Yeah, so letting the kids have that power and their voice to ask me questions was what worked for me.
What a good story.
Drink Starbucks, but just remember, kids might think you're pregnant.
That's awesome. We want to hear from you, though. We want to hear your questions, your comments, your games, your tips and tricks. So please contact us at podcast@themindtrek.com or follow us on Instagram at Mindtrek Education. This has been SEL Unfiltered. Thanks to our sponsor, the Mindtrek SEL program, guiding people of all ages to make the impossible possible by giving them the tools to overcome stress, build stronger relationships, and climb their Everest. You can find them at themindtrek.com. If you have feedback or want us to answer your SEL questions, email us at podcast@themindtrek.com. We would love to hear from you. Join us next time to empower the SEL guide in you.